Well, as we continue on in this season of Epiphany, we continue to be shown this manifestation of Jesus, God, throughout Scriptures. I mean, the season is a time for us to recognize God working through Jesus, not only in history and in the past, but today as well, in the present. Because it is now through us, the church, that he has revealed himself to the rest of the world. Which, of course, means that we have a job to do, and I wonder how well are we doing it. There was a saying I recently saw. It says, a disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. See, we are called to be disciples. When we come to the realization that we need a Savior, that on our own we cannot ever save ourselves or be perfect. When we realize that it is only through what Jesus has done on the cross, that crucifixion had to happen in order to provide us a way back into relationship with God so that we can stand before him pure, holy, and blameless. That is, if we're willing to allow him to be Lord and Savior, and if we're willing to now be responsible for the church's mission. So how do you think we're doing when we think about it? Well, think about the mission even of St. Luke's. What is it? To enlarge the kingdom of God through our common witness and to teach the truth of Christ. I mean, do we really take that to heart personally? Do we feel like, yes, it is my job to do this, to help kind of be responsible that this mission of God occurs and happens within this community? Do we see it as this communal call to truly enlarge God's kingdom and teach his truth, both within this community and outside these walls? Or do we hear that mission and think, that's a great mission and I'm so glad everybody else is taking care of making sure it occurs? See, this mission, you know, I might burst a few bubbles, but this is not for me to complete by myself. It is not the purview of people that have chosen to serve on vestry. It's not just those that head up ministries or are kind of up front in the worship services. This mission is for each and every one of us that are part of the community of St. Luke's. So how are we doing? When we're not here, how are we witnessing the truth of God to those that we work with in our secular jobs, in our homes, when we're just going about our normal day? I mean, I think about that. I wonder, when I don't have the collar on, how am I truly doing well in witnessing to the truth of God in my life? How are we teaching others in our lives and even those that are here? Howard Schneider, who is, it says, a pastor, missionary, seminary professor, and author. I kind of get exhausted sometimes when I read these bios. He wrote a book called The Problem with Wineskins. And he basically says that we're the wineskins and Jesus is the wine that is poured into us. And he writes, the church's task is not to keep Christians off the streets, but to send them out equipped for kingdom tasks. The problem is that the church isn't up to the job. On our own, in our own strength and wisdom, even in the most dedicated of us, are not able to do these kingdom tasks. It's all too much for us, which is exactly why God sent his Son and why the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. See, I mean, that's the beauty and the good news. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthians in our epistle this morning. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them to everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I am so thankful that God does not leave us to our own devices. That's the beauty of it. He's called us to do it, but knows that on our own and in our own power, we can't. That's why he gives us the ability. He enables us to do what he has called us to do if we're willing to allow Him to work through us. God is only through the Spirit that we will be able to enlarge the kingdom of God and teach His truth. Well, so those of you that are basketball fans might remember Red Auerbach. I might know if I pronounced that right. He was the longtime coach of the Boston Celtics. He was just a legendary coach. And someone asked him, because he had this reputation of being able to use older stars effectively. And he's kind of like, what's your secret with these, quote, over-the-hillers, so to speak? And he says that he would sit down and explain to each player what he expected them to contribute to the team. Because he would say, we have a real need here, and you are capable of filling it. If you will focus on what you do well, instead of what you once could do, you could help this team a lot. Imagine if we just focused on what we could do well, not what somebody else could do, or maybe what we could do 20 years ago. What is God calling us today that we can do well to contribute to the team? See, we don't have to all be superstars for God. We are capable, says God, because He's equipped us to do what He desires. And that's the good news of the kingdom of God. I even think of the post-communion prayer we pray after every communion service. And it doesn't matter which form we use, we constantly pray that God will use us for what He desires. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve You with gladness and singleness of heart. Or the other prayer, and now, Father, send us out to do the work You have given us to do, to love and serve You as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. So ask, do we mean it when we pray that? Or do we just say them because that's what's written down and that's what we're supposed to do as good Episcopalians? But these are prayers that we are praying and vowing to God. Do we take them to heart? I think often we're very similar to the Christians that Paul found in Corinth. Because instead of celebrating how God had gifted them, how God has gifted us, and then striving to use them for God's glory, what happens? We tend to compare and judge, don't we? Well, I'm not as good as that person, so I have nothing to offer. Or, I'm so much better than that person, and you know, they really should be doing something because I am doing it all. How often do we start to then judge one another and compare our giftedness or our lack of giftedness as we feel? Or then, what if we even ignore the way God has called us and gifted us? Well, I have nothing to offer. But even worse is when we use our gifts not for God, but solely for ourselves, just to appease our own selfish desires and appetites. One commentator explains in regards to giftedness, he says, we didn't deserve them. We didn't receive them because we did something right. Yes, we can ask for them, we can pursue spiritual disciplines, and we should develop the gifts we have been given, but it is the Spirit who gives the gift. Prophecy, leadership, healing, tongues, etc., etc. So let us humbly receive and faithfully use them for the common good, because in that way, Christ will become visible in this dark world. So how are we using the gifts we've been given? Are we using them for the common good, to enlarge the kingdom and teach the truth of God? I can't answer for you. Only you can answer for you. I can answer for myself and look at my own life. How am I serving Jesus? How am I using the gifts? How am I nurturing the gifts and growing in where God has called me for His good and the common good of the community of Christ? I think of an orchestra. I mean, if you go to a symphony, each instrument has its purpose and its place in the piece of music that they're playing, right? But ask a violinist who's the most important in an orchestra, and they will tell you, oh yes, it is me. There is a hierarchy in the orchestra, if you know anything about orchestras. But even within the sections, there's a hierarchy, and there's different music that different people have to play. There's first violin, there's second violin, there's first trumpet, second trumpet. Everyone has its place and its part in order for the whole to sound as beautiful as it is meant to be. Even the tuba and the triangle are important in the symphony to get the full measure of the glory that that piece was meant. Think about it. If every instrument felt that it was the most important and played the loudest and wanted to be heard the most, that would be the most horrible piece of music that you would have to suffer and endure through if you tried to listen to it. And what if instrument didn't decided that, you know what, I'm just not really that good, so I'm not going to play, or I'm going to play softer than I should? You would have a lessened experience of what the composer and the conductor desired from that piece of music. See, we're not all called to be up front. We're not all called to be preachers or to be ordained to serve publicly, but we are all called. No matter how old, no matter how young. And that's what I love about the acolytes. They're serving, they're using God's gift, even at a young age. It doesn't matter if you have served the Lord and known Jesus your entire life, or if you've just come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. We are all called. We are all gifted in some way. And without each one of us using our gifts as God has desired, the end result will not be what our composer and conductor Jesus wants this church to be within the world. Now maybe you're sitting here going, yeah, you might be talking about everybody else, but I really don't have anything to offer. I say, then the first thing you need to do is get with God. Nurture your relationship with Jesus. Get to know who God sees you as. Spend time with Him and seeking to know what and where He is calling you and how He has gifted you. Consider your passions. What is it that just excites you? What is it that you just are passionate about and love to do? Because God can and definitely does use everything, even those that we might not consider are spiritual. See, the church, yes, needs prayer warriors. The church needs people that will serve in the services of the church. But you know what? He also needs those that are financially savvy. He definitely needs those, or at least we need those that understand technology in this day and age, to be able to navigate kind of the internet and all those other fun things to enable us to get the word of God to those that don't know it. He needs introverts. He needs extroverts. God desires to use each of us to bring about His kingdom here and now and allow us to experience the joy and abundance that He wants for us. See, Jesus didn't suffer and die the most horrible death that you could possibly die so that we could just have life after we die. He did all of that to save us for here and now. He sacrificed Himself so that we in this world could understand and know His presence and to be His witnesses, to be His light in a world that so desperately needs it, to bring others into the reach of His saving embrace now. So seek how God might use your gifts. Seek that we may know what our gifts are. And then let us thank God for them and allow Him to use us however and in whatever way He chooses in order to enlarge His kingdom and teach His truth. Amen.